Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. Central trade unions except the Rashtriya Swayamsevak Sangh affiliated Bharatiya Mazdoor Sangh have called for a nationwide strike today, saying they are dissatisfied with the government's policy and action towards workers. This is the fourth nationwide strike called by 10 central trade unions since the Narendra Modi-led National Democratic Alliance government came to power in 2014. Nearly 25 crore people are expected to take part in this All India strike to protest against the government's alleged anti-people policies. The unions have been calling for action on a list of demands which they say have been ignored by the government. Meanwhile, the government has asked public sector undertakings to dissuade their employees from participating in the strike and has advised them to prepare a contingency plan to ensure smooth functioning of the enterprises. The strike will be carried out by various industrial trade unions, women's and farmers collectives. This will be supported by left parties and central trade unions. Six bank unions will go on strike, affecting ATM and branch services. However, SBI and Syndicate Bank have assured smooth operation. Several banks have already informed stock exchanges about the strike and its impact on banking services. The unions have a 13-point charter of demands, which includes urgent measures to contain price rise by universalization of public distribution system and containing unemployment through concrete measures for employment generation. The retail inflation, measured in terms of the consumer price index, rose to a 3-year high of 5.54% in November 2019 due to higher food prices. One of the key demands has been to increase the minimum wage of workers. While it is a long-standing demand, unions have asked for monthly minimum wage to be set at Rs 15,000 for workers in the past. They now demand the government to hike it to Rs 21,000. Additionally, the unions have demanded worker status to all scheme workers, such as the accredited social health activists or ASHA, and those who work in providing midday meals in schools. Since these workers are not officially categorized as workers, they are not protected by most labor laws in the country. A Delhi court on Tuesday issued the death warrant against all four death row convicts in the 2012 Nirbhaya gang rape and murder case. The execution has been scheduled for 7 a.m. on January 22 and will take place in jail number 3 at Tihar in the national capital. Additional Sessions Judge Satish Kumar Arora, who issued the death warrants, said the convicts can use their legal remedies within 14 days. The four death row convicts, Mukesh, 32, Vinay Sharma, 26, Akshay Singh, 31, and Pawan Gupta, 25, were produced before the court via video conferencing. AP Singh, lawyer of the convicts, said they will file a curative petition in the Supreme Court. The 23-year-old woman, a paramedic student, was brutally gang-raped and tortured on the night of December 16, 2012, inside a moving bus in South Delhi by six persons, before being thrown out on the road. Nirbhaya, as she came to be known around the country, succumbed to her injuries almost 2 weeks later, on December 29, 2012, at Mount Elizabeth Hospital in Singapore. All the six accused were arrested and charged with sexual assault and murder. One of the accused was a minor and appeared before a juvenile justice court, while another accused committed suicide in Tihar jail. Four of the convicts were sentenced to death by a trial court in September 2013, and the verdict confirmed by the Delhi High Court in March 2014 and upheld by the Supreme Court in May 2017, which also dismissed their review petitions. The trial court had earlier directed Tihar jail authorities to seek within a week the response from the four death row convicts as to whether they were filing mercy pleas against their executions with the President of India. The court was hearing the applications moved by Nirbhaya's parents and the prosecution seeking issuance of death warrant against the convicts. There was fresh snowfall in Kashmir and the higher reaches of Himachal Pradesh and Uttarakhand on Tuesday, even as rainfall and thundershowers were witnessed across most states in northern India. Moderate fog was reported in isolated places in Punjab, West Rajasthan, East Uttar Pradesh, Himachal Pradesh and Uttarakhand in the morning. Delhi received rains, but the minimum temperature was recorded at 11.6 degrees Celsius, 4 notches above the normal. The maximum temperature settled at 19 degrees Celsius, normal for this time of the year. Heavy snowfall and rains in higher hills under the influence of a western disturbance will cause the mercury to drop to 3 to 4 degrees Celsius by the weekend, the India Meteorological Department said. The IMD said scattered to fairly widespread rain is likely over Punjab, Haryana, Chandigarh, Delhi and Uttar Pradesh and isolated places in Rajasthan till Thursday. Thunderstorm and lightning accompanied with hailstorm is likely in parts of Jammu and Kashmir and Himachal Pradesh till today and Uttarakhand, Punjab, Haryana, Chandigarh, Delhi, Rajasthan and Uttar Pradesh till Thursday, it added. Most of the higher reaches of Himachal Pradesh, including tourist hotspots Shimla, Manali, Kufri and Dalhousie, received fresh snowfall on Tuesday, bringing cheer among tourists, even as nearly 100 roads remained blocked. The coldest place in the state was Keelong at minus 7 degrees Celsius. And Russian President Vladimir Putin traveled to Damascus on Tuesday for a meeting with President Bashar Assad, a rare visit that comes amid soaring tensions between Iran and United States following the US drone strike that killed a top Iranian general. While the official statements made during the previously unannounced visit made no mention of the killing last week of General Qasem Soleimani, the timing was conspicuous. The US strike that killed Soleimani minutes after he landed in Iraq has drawn vows of retaliation from Tehran and its proxy militias in Baghdad and Beirut. It has also led the US to reposition its troops in Iraq, following calls by the Iraqi parliament and prime minister for US forces to leave the country. Soleimani led Iran-backed forces supporting Assad in Syria's civil war and played a key role in shoring up his army, with some 600 American troops deployed in Syria. The country is a potential site of conflict with Iran. Putin's visit is the second to the country during the war, where his troops have been fighting alongside Syrian government forces since 2015. It comes amid a crushing Russian-backed offensive by Syrian forces on the northwestern province of Idlib, the last rebel stronghold in Syria. Putin and Assad met at a Russian command post in Damascus and were presented with military reports on the situation in different regions of Syria, said Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov. In his conversation with Assad, Putin said that a lot has been done towards restoring Syria's statehood and territorial integrity. The situation didn't just change. In fact, we are witnessing the restoration of Syria's statehood, Syria as a state, the country's territorial integrity, Putin said in a video of the meeting released by Syria's state news agency Sana. At the same time, Putin noted that the situation in the Middle East is unfortunately escalating. During his time in Damascus, Putin visited the Syrian capital's landmark Umayyad Mosque in the walled old city together, where he viewed the tomb of John the Baptist, who is sacred to both Christians and Muslims. Putin's visit coincided with Russian Orthodox Christmas, and Putin congratulated his troops on the holiday, according to a statement from Assad's office. Photos released by Sana showed the two leaders visiting an Orthodox cathedral in Damascus. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening and have a very good day.